Welcome to the Connectable Podcast.
Creating connection through relatable conversation.
The Connectable Podcast starts in 3, 2, 1.
Girls only. Yeah. We have Crystal Rose in the house. We don't have a formal introduction on this podcast on Connectable like we did on Character Combine. So here we go. Here's the opening part. Oh, I don't even have my microphone the right way. Josh, I'm already messing this up. So you guys, we have Crystal Rose. She's the owner of Rebellia. She's the host of the Self Love Breakfast Club podcast, which is amazing. I love it. I listen to it when I'm running. And she's also a self-love coach. Crystal, thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm really glad it's girl time right now and that Josh isn't here to butt in questions. He took up a lot of my time last time. I wanted to ask you more questions and then he butted in with his questions. I'm just kidding. He asked really good questions. But yeah, so Crystal, so you were on our Character Combine podcast a few months back. And we talked about a lot of things on there. So as much as I want to repeat all of those things so that this audience hears all of that, I'm just going to refer to that, tell them to go back to listen to that episode, Character Combine. I obviously don't have the notes ready of what episode it was, but look for Crystal Rose. But that being said, can you just give our audience just a brief or give our listeners a brief rundown of just, you know, your background, who you are, what you do, and how you became so passionate about self-love? I know that was
Yeah, I'll try to make this short because I feel like my story is like epically long, and that's one of the things I hate on podcasts the most, where it's like, tell me your whole story since birth.
So I
actually started my first business at the end of 2012, and it was a marketing business, and it was like really exciting for me because I was kind of nerdy about marketing. But at the same time, it was kind of like, you know, I mean, it's marketing. So I didn't really have a lot of like passion for, you know, what I was actually doing. I did have a lot of employees under me that were women, and I really loved being their boss, and I really loved advocating for them and just making sure that they were really, really happy. Right. And I fell into a co-ownership of a women's magazine called The Indie Chicks, and it was a self-empowerment magazine for women. And that is where I really kind of just fell in love with the concept of self-empowerment, helping women to love themselves, and like just giving them like tidbits of advice and stuff that maybe they hadn't quite thought of before, and just really like helping. And I got like super addicted to that. And at one point, you know, there were major flaws in both of the businesses, and I had gotten into my own fitness journey. I struggled with my body forever, like since my mid-teens, and I finally like picked up a barbell and I got into fitness. And so I started to, you know, you start to feel that shift happen when you really kind of, you know, do strength training especially. Right. And my body changed, and clothes didn't really fit anymore, and not in this like I'm too fat way, but in a like, no, I really like my body finally, and stuff is just not working. So I walked away from those businesses to start Rebellia, my boutique, which is for chicks with athletic builds and, you know, curves that don't quite fit the straight up and down mainstream fashion market. And I have been doing that for, I think we've been live for like 4-ish years, but it's been almost 6 since I first started trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
So I really love that. I love helping women feel more confident in their skin, in their clothes, in their bodies. I, throughout my fitness journey, fell in love with nutrition and nutrition coaching because it was like I found this freedom that I didn't realize existed. So I pursued that as kind of like a side gig. And I recently was certified as like a food and body life coach. And that I thought I would, oh, I would just blow up my nutrition business. And it turns out that no, I don't want to coach nutrition anymore. I want to get to the root, which is the reason why we have food and body issues, and help people heal from there. So that's really kind of like the short version, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, okay. And speaking of Rebellia. I'm wearing, so this is like recorded too, if you're watching on YouTube. I can't like stand up and show you, but like, anyway, I had to rep. When we first hopped on, I'm such a dummy. I was like, I had a sweater on and I'm like, why am I, I need to wear Rebellia. Rebellia is right.
What am I doing?
What am I doing? Exactly. And I remember, you know, following Rebellia. I told you this last time, way like 4 or 5 years ago. Like I remember seeing an ad and I remember seeing the clothes and I'm like, oh, what is this? It's like custom, you know, I think the size charting was different back then. Oh, yeah. Right. And then, so it changed and anyway. And so long story short, I have many items of clothing that I'm obsessed with. So in this,
you look amazing in them. I love it when you tag us.
I love, they're so comfortable. So I'm totally on board for the, you know, when, you know, and I've heard your stories on some of your podcasts too, of just like how, you know, department store just, and cool kudos and props to those girls who can fit in those clothes. You know, obviously we're not knocking that at all.
No, not at all.
Right. But for those who, you know, can't, it's just, anyway, it's nice to just like feel comfortable in your clothes at any size and just, you know, love the way you look that way. So
yeah, our main goal is just so women can feel confident in shopping with us, that whatever they order is going to fit their bodies and that they have the most information possible. So, I mean, shopping online in itself can be stressful.
Yeah, for sure.
So we just want to make sure that everyone feels like, okay, I love this. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to get it. It's going to look even better than I thought it would.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause it's funny. Cause sometimes I'll, if I were to shop online and I say, I think I'm a medium. Yeah, I get it. And it's like two sizes too small for me, or I get small and it's too big. Like, so I like your size chart. So that works out very well. So,
yeah.
My next question, has to do with body image actually. So, I know this is your jam. So excited to talk to you about all these things. Sorry, I didn't even tell our listeners at the beginning, we're going to talk about body image, eating habits, self-love, all that stuff.
Maybe not.
Crystal and I have been talking before we hit record. So we're just going to go with it. So in your professional opinion, and just, you know, the things that you've dealt with too, why do you think body image has become such an issue with women, or always has been an issue with women? And I don't mean to discriminate against men, but I know that you work specifically with women. So we're just going to stick to that route, just like disclaimer for everyone.
Right. And I've never been a man, so I can't tell you how men feel about their
life. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. So like in terms of like, I'm sure it's always been an issue, but like, why do you think it is such an issue? Body image.
Oh my goodness. Like this is such a, like, I think like a layered question because, you know, I think there are several different factors. Like one obvious one is, you know, we're inundated with images from the media, you know, advertising, and up until recently, very recently, it's been like the same thing, you know, growing up in the 90s. I mean, I had like stick thin, Kate Moss and like, you know, like the supermodels. This is when they reigned supreme at the time, you know, Victoria's Secret catalogs and all that. And it was like, you just weren't pretty if that's not what you look like. And so there's a lot of societal conditioning in that. That's just kind of like, if you don't fit in this box, like you're not good enough. But I also think a lot of that comes from, you know, our upbringing and stuff. Like I personally was built more like my father. My sister was built more like my mom. And so my mom was always like skinny and she always like would laugh and be like, oh, I got called chicken legs in high school. You know, I'd be really annoyed, but I had these like, these thick thighs and it pissed me off and I couldn't get rid of them. And I was just built bigger. And so I would always have to hear that, you know, oh, a moment on the lips, Crystal, you know, like these little, a moment on the lips, lifetime on the hips, or slap it on your thighs. Just like whenever I would eat something like fattening or whatever. And so there was a little bit of, you know, parental stuff going on in there. And I got boobs before a lot of other girls did. And so it just like, I never felt, I never remember being very aware of my body, like at that point too much. Like I would get those comments and I'd be like, I know I'm built like my dad and she's built like you. And I wanted to look more like my sister for like love for my mom. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, later can translate. So we have so many stories that are fed to us over time. And what happens is that becomes an ingrained in our belief system. And so we just have this subconscious belief, which mm-hmm. our subconscious rules like 95% of what we do.
Right.
We have the subconscious belief that if we look a certain way, if our body looks a certain way, and if, you know, then we will be loved, we will be worthy. And there are times where you can look that way, but you don't see it. Or, you know, in the mirror. I mean, how many times have we said, oh man, I wish I was as fat as I was when I thought I was fat, because I wasn't, like, yeah. you know?
Right,
it's
right.
Body dysmorphia.
Yeah. Oh, body dysmorphia. Oh, okay. That's another topic I want to hit on. I want to talk yeah. about so many things with you. But before I forget, so something you said just now about how, like, you know, just wanting to, you know, that love from your mom, mm. kind of like just to look like her. Do you think that there is a direct link between self-love and body image?
Yeah.
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 Or positive body image, I guess. Self-love and positive body image.
Yeah. And even honestly, just in our stories or our feelings and our moods, you yeah. know, like there are days where I look in the mirror and I'm like, yeah. Or even like 10 minutes later, something happens, or I'm struggling, or I'm having a stressful day. I can look in the mirror and be like, gross.
Right.
You know, yeah. it's like, yeah. and it's the same body. Nothing's really happened in that 10 minutes except for my feelings.
Yeah, that's very true. And then, when you said body dysmorphia, I just want to explain to our listeners what that is, if they don't know what it is or have never heard of it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but body dysmorphia is when you look in the mirror and you see something completely different than what the world sees. Am I right? Is that mm-hmm. how you would define body dysmorphia?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Like you're not seeing what's really there. You're not looking with a critical eye. And I don't want to say critical as in like negatively right. critical, but more of like an observer, mm-hmm. you know, an objective
right.
person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I teach high school PE, and sometimes mm-hmm. I talk to my classes. Yeah. Especially to the girls. Again, I'm not discriminating against guys, but like girls will ask me more, and it's because I'm a girl, so they feel comfortable. But you know, they'll ask me about lifting and body image and da da da, and we can, you know, get into that, the lifting part yeah. as well, and how it doesn't bulk you up. I love talking about that. That's my favorite thing to talk about. But so I'll go over a unit with them about, you know, like eating disorders and stuff, and I'll try to explain to them, because they'll ask me like, why do people become anorexic, or why do people, you know, become bulimia, or, you know, yeah. practice bulimia. And then, so I'll try to explain to them an aspect of it could be the body dysmorphia thing, of how yeah. if they look in the mirror and I, you know, I say like, you know, on the scale, they're like 110 pounds, but they look in the mirror and they see like a 200 pound, like big person. And yeah. so, I think that is also linked to the self-love, and that's a whole different topic. We don't have to get into all of that.
Yeah. That's, I think, just one. A comment on like disordered eating. Also, yeah. I think, you know, especially like growing up, we saw it as anorexia, bulimia, and then paparexia. But disordered eating is doing anything weird with your food. Yeah. It is being obsessive. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, cutting out some major thing and because you feel like it'll make you fat if you eat it. It's like binging. It's going in a shame spiral because of the binge. Like disordered eating looks like anything that is not just eating food right. and moving on.
Right. Eating food to fuel your body, at least. Right. It's like, sure.
or like, you know, enjoying, like food is emotional. It is social. It is cultural. It is experiential. You yeah. know, there's so many elements of food that make it wonderful. And it's not just, you know, food is food, we're robots, but you cannot go and enjoy a lovely, fattening, high caloric meal and just let it be what it is. And then you go back and you obsess and like that is right. not healthy. Like that's, right. you know, that could potentially be disordered eating.
But people right.
think it's just starving yourself, or it's just binging and purging. And there's so many.
Right. Yeah.
On that spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. And just okay, so macro counting.
Yeah.
So yeah. I did macro counting, I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago. And partially because I was going through some things in my life that I wanted to, and I didn't realize this until later, like through therapy and whatnot, but like I wanted to gain some sense of control over my life. And I thought that would give me control because I can control what I eat and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't know that it turned into a healthy thing. It did teach me about nutrition and just strictly like objectively, right? But it totally, later on, I found out, okay, I was trying to control something because there were things in my life at the point that I could not control and that I did not like. Yeah. So I was trying not. So now, and I'm trying so hard now in my life, not to associate macro counting as something negative, because for me back then, it was potentially a negative thing because I wasn't, the issue that I was going through, the personal issue, I wasn't addressing that. I was just focusing on, I'm counting my macros. I am da 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 da. I'm doing this. So yeah, what is something like, if you were, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. If I were your client, what is something you could like tell me or help me with to try, I guess, to try to change my way of thinking about that as a negative thing? I don't know if that's too big of a question, but like, how would one go about switching that?
Here's the thing: it's about the intention,
right?
So counting macros is, you know, fine. There's plenty of people who can count their macros. I originally found a ton of freedom in counting macros. I thought it was amazing that I didn't have to be either off the rails or cut out all the, you know, the stuff I liked.
Yeah.
But it's about the intention. So for example, if you have a really super stressful day and you come home and you're like, I just need some wine, and you have two glasses of wine, you're using it as a coping mechanism. It's a coping strategy. But if you are, you know, you're in a good place, whatever, and you just want to relax and have a couple of glasses of wine, the intention is totally different.
Right.
So when you were in this, you know, this place, you weren't dealing with the root, right? And because you were avoiding your feelings and you're avoiding this thing over here that you didn't want to deal with, your coping strategy happened to be being in control of your food. And we all have different coping mechanisms because feelings suck.
Yeah.
No one wants the pain of sitting in the feeling and actually feeling it and moving through it.
Right.
So I wouldn't start with you and be like, we got to change your mindset or we got to change your behavior, because the behavior is way down the food chain. And so is your mindset, and it doesn't stick. I can't just be like, well, think about it different.
I've heard you say that, and I love it on your stories.
Just don't think about it like that. Think about it like this. And like, it doesn't work that way. And there are people who, you know, you can have a very similar wound to someone else, or a very similar root thing that you're going through or that went through, and have two different, completely different ways of coping. Right. Some people might be emotional eating, and that's how they numb their pain and how they get certainty and safety. And other people may hit the gym and work out for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Our society views the gym person as so healthy. Well, at least it's a healthy strategy. At least you're coping in a healthy way. Are we though? It's not. It looks like that person has more discipline than the person who's emotionally eating. And that's not the case. They just have a different coping mechanism. Neither person is addressing the root issue.
Right.
So what I would tell you is feel your feelings.
Right.
What are you feeling? What are you feeling when you need that control? What are you inside of your body? How does it feel to you?
Yeah.
Where does that come from? And what is the voice associated with that? And then we start to unravel this belief that I'm out of control, right? The belief us that might be I'm out of control.
Right.
And And so let's address that belief. Let's change that belief. Let's work on that, as opposed to like, let's just look at the macros. Macros have nothing to do with anything.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's crazy, just to wrap up everything that you just said right now about all that. So as soon, you know, so circling back to like, as soon as I did address the issue, guess what I stopped doing? Stopped macro counting.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened like that. And I didn't realize that that's what I did later on. I love it.
This is what I tell my clients. I'm like, we're not going to focus on these behaviors, because that is like, that's so base level. we are working on the root, because I'm telling you, those behaviors are going to resolve themselves. Like, we won't even have to worry about it. You're just suddenly going to be like, oh, I don't do this anymore. Yeah. Cause we're not putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound anymore.
Right. Exactly. That's perfect. I love that. And a lot of that has to do with self-love. So for you, how do you define self-love? Like, how do you define that?
So I believe that self-love is that unconditional feeling that you easily give to someone else, yeah. Right? We don't have to try to love anybody else that we love. We just do. And then that for ourselves, like, turned inward.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. You know, I think some people think self-love is like what's the word I'm looking for? Like a conceited word, oh, I love myself. I love myself. No, but
that's a coping mechanism.
What, the conceited part?
That hyper, that inflated, I'm great. I am awesome. I am like that.
What?
Right there. Yes. Right there. Is because when you really love yourself, it's not about, you know, you can sit there and be like, yeah, I'm awesome. I know I am. Mm. You can feel it, but it's not, you don't have to sing your own praises day in and day out. Like, you just don't have to, because you don't need that external validation.
Right.
Anything you need to receive from the external world, kudos. Mm-hmm. You have to tell people how awesome you are. Like, that's something going on in there, you know?
Is that kind of like the same? I saw you post something about affirmations.
Yeah.
Is that along the same lines of like saying the affirmations? Like, is that a coping mechanism as well?
Or? No, I feel like self-affirmations are an attempt to change your mindset. I think they're an attempt. But they only work while you're saying them, staring at yourself in the mirror. I'm pretty, you know, like.
Right.
It's not, I don't think it's a coping mechanism so much as like, it's like a, okay, you have a lot, you don't have self-love. So go in the mirror and say 3 nice things about yourself. Okay. And it may be hard to do it because you don't have that self-love. And so it feels awkward, uncomfortable, but you know, and you're looking in the mirror and you're like, I'm pretty, I look great, I feel good in my body. And then you go out and you're living your life, and then you walk by a store window and you see yourself and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because you're not in it. You're not like staring at yourself saying the affirmations. Like, right. It only works when you're working at it.
Yeah.
Like a self-help book. How many times have you read a self-help book and felt like you were on top of the world and you have cracked the code to your life?
Yeah.
And then you stop reading the book and you're like, oh, I'm here again.
Back to square one. So how does, and this is another loaded question, but how, lots of loaded questions. This is what I have you on. I got to ask you the loaded questions and I'll take whatever you give me. How does one start building to that self-love, that place to where they don't have to constantly say out loud and sing their own praises or do something like, you know, macro count like I did, or like how, and you did talk about the feel, like deal with the feelings, deal with the root. So is that a key component of building self-love, dealing with the root of what is taking you away from self-love?
Yeah. It's not like bubble baths and sunshine and roses. Sometimes it's holding yourself accountable. You know, sometimes it's being really self-aware and knowing when you're pulling your BS, you know, like it's not always, self-love is not always just this like pet your own hair and tell yourself how pretty you are. It is like, you have to be ruthlessly committed to being honest with yourself, you know, and like when you're pulling your stuff or you're triggered by something, instead of blaming, you know, the external world, you have to look within and be like, What am I supposed to learn from this? You know, if you see someone online and she triggers you, wow, she's just so annoying, right? That's a mirror. What about her? Either A, is inside of you that you're seeing reflected back, or B, does she have that you want that you don't believe you can have too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that honesty. It's, you know, the root. Yeah. Like, knowing that you have a lot of, maybe whether it be trauma or just like childhood hurts, it could have just been the kid, little jerk in second grade who told you you were ugly, and like you would never, your brain would be like, we don't think about that, that doesn't matter, right? But inside, your body is like still hasn't resolved that. So it's going, being willing to go back and resolve like these past hurts yeah. and changing your belief system. Like, yeah. you don't love yourself because you don't believe that you deserve it. And so that belief is what needs to be attacked. And that can only be changed generally by providing yourself evidence to the yeah. contrary.
Yeah. Wow. Just the whole, and of course, now I'm like, I have all kinds of questions. I'm like, how do you go
back? Lay them on me.
I know. Well, and but it's interesting because it's like, that's so true. Past traumas and, you know, how you think about yourself today and how you don't feel like you're, you know, deserving of, there's all kinds of things that is underneath the layers of what gets in the way of self-love. But what do you think is the biggest thing that gets in the way of self-love? I don't know if there is a biggest thing.
Yeah, I think it's like, there's like this weight. I will love myself when, and like, and it's an external thing, right? When I look a certain way, when I graduate and I'm a badass and I like make all this money, like, you know, it's like, I will, when I get there and when I lose 15 pounds, when I, you know, there's like this belief that like, you can't just like turn it on here and now as is, that you have to do something. There's a how do I do this? But it's a state of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that's, I think really the biggest obstacle is ourselves and our beliefs.
Hey. Yeah. Drop the mic right there. We are the biggest. It's us. We're the biggest obstacle between us and, you know, yeah. loving ourselves without having to constantly sing the praises. It's really funny because I love TikTok. I love TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's so addicting. Yeah. I love your TikToks. I just love TikToks. And so I see all these TikToks, you know, these girls, you know, speaking either to like whoever's looking at them, like to you, like they're going like this, like, you're a badass, you're a da da da, you're beautiful. And those are really nice. And, or they'll say it about themselves. And that's really, and I'm like, yeah, you go, girl. But I didn't think of it as a, and of course, you know, I'm sure you'll agree, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, but like you said, singing, having to constantly sing your own praises and your own self.
I think there's a difference though. I want to make a distinction in that.
Okay.
I want to make a distinction because there's a difference between a woman like really standing in her truth and solid in her self-love and her love for herself and wanting to let other women like, you are like, I gave a pep talk today that was like beyond pep talks, right? Like, because I felt like sometimes getting that externally from someone else allows us maybe to drip a little bit inward and be like, okay, well, maybe something, you know, she must be seeing something in me that maybe I'm not. There's a difference between an inflated sense of self, an inflated ego, the external need for validation. You're flipping through TikTok and someone says this, all like, you're amazing, you're a bad, blah, blah, blah. You're like, thanks, girl. Yeah. Like that feels good. That feels nice. There's a difference between like that and needing it, you know, or to be like every, and you will see this in some people. There's always an announcement. They always have an announcement, an important announcement. And like, I just got this thing and this kudos happened to me and I was published in this thing. And it's not just like, oh, hey, this happened and I'm so proud. It's like every single day they are talking about how, and it's not just that. It's like, I'm an amazing boss because of this. And I'm a wonderful blah, 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 because we get it. You know, we get it. It's this need, and you wouldn't need to post it all of the time. It's just like, if you're in a good relationship, you don't have to post about it constantly to validate. You're looking for that external validation. So affirmations are wonderful. I think it's wonderful. It's, you know, they just don't stick unless there's a belief behind it.
Right.
You know, if you don't really believe that you are beautiful and you have a wonderful soul and you are successful, like saying those things they're not going to stick. They're not going to help you get to where you want to go.
Right.
But if you believe those things about yourself, like,
right,
that's, you're just reaffirming what a belief that's there, and that is helpful. But yeah, there's a distinction between like someone who is literally needs to sing their own praises because they are not feeling it. Like, there's no way that they do. And
Huh.
Who is just solid in who they are and their self-love.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you said that, just because it just, that makes a lot of sense in terms of like just hearing it and being like, oh, that feels good. Like, I, like, yeah, you go, girl. And between that and like needing to constantly hear or needing to constantly
say, like, how many likes can I get on this post about how great I am today? And I'll have another one ready for tomorrow, you know?
You're like, we get it, girl.
Like, there's something missing there.
Yeah. Like, why do you feel the need to? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, there's a time and a place for it. If you're proud of yourself, like, hell yeah, be proud of yourself, you know, let other people join in and be proud of you.
Like, yeah.
But you can, I think you, when you start to like pay attention or you start to like notice, you can really see the difference. And it honestly just makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I go back and forth. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm on the same page as you. Like, do you need to? But then I'm like, oh, but you go, girl, whatever. And at the end of the day,
yeah. I celebrate the dumbest stuff now. Right. I mean, the things that I celebrate now are so minute that, like, you know, in the let's measure our success against other people's world, right? So like, I celebrate stuff that is very minimal and like would be perceived as dumb, even in my former world. Like, this isn't good enough to celebrate, right? I don't post about it constantly, be like, guys, today we had one more sale than we had yesterday. No one cares. Who cares? Wow, one more sale, big deal. But I do it for myself. Obviously, I'm not posting about it every day, but I do it for myself so I can be in that energy of celebration and attract more celebration and more reasons to celebrate. And when you're celebrating all the time, it's really hard to not have like good energy and be happy.
Yeah. Love it. I love the distinction and the clarification. That's great. Yeah. I want to switch gears a little bit to eating habits, if that's okay. So in terms of, you know, I talked about macro counting, not that that is a poor eating habit. It actually taught me a lot. And we talked about, you know, just now about how there was a bigger issue. There was a root there, but, in terms of, I guess I want to talk about poor eating habits. However, eating a disorder. How difficult is it to break the psychological issue and pattern behind all that? Like whether it is you're eating, you know, too much, too little, maybe you're just eating crap all the time. I mean, okay, strictly for nutritional reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it just depends on like, you know, like we won't get back into like the whole root thing. Right. Because like, if there's obviously something going on, that's why someone's not gonna be able to follow a diet to save their lives. Like, they're going to self-sabotage and all of that. But just like generally like speaking, like, I think some people just like don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I think one of the beautiful things about counting macros is that like, it doesn't take anything off the table. Like, nothing is off limits. Mm-hmm. So like, you aren't having to be like, good food, bad food. Now, if you have the right coach or you have the right education in that space, then you understand that there's like a nutrient density as opposed to like a caloric density. And some things that are very nutrient dense are also very calorically dense, like avocado, right? Mm-hmm. Good for you. But if you eat an entire avocado, there is a ton of fat in there. And so, you know, you see people be like, I'm eating clean. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. And it's like, okay, because you're not paying attention to like calories and macro and what you're actually putting into your body.
Right.
And whether you count them or not, everything has macros. So yeah,
exactly.
They're going in.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, education is really important. I think we're so like zeroed in on this, like, you know, pizza is bad, donuts are bad, and you know, junk food is bad. And it's like, it's not. It's just like, you can't make that your entire diet. And you shouldn't be getting your entire diet from a box or fast food. But if you generally eat like whole from the earth, like, you know what it looked like when it was walking around, or, you know, when it was in the earth, you know, it looks similar, then that should be the majority of your diet.
Right.
The rest, it's like, if you're getting the majority of like, you know, what your body truly like needs, like nutrients, then have some of whatever, but it shouldn't be an either or. I firmly believe that, whether you're counting or not, and cutting out any major food group is just like a red flag for me.
Gotcha.
It's not sustainable.
It's what?
Not sustainable.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that was going to be my next question is diet fads. I know where you stand on that already just by listening to your podcast and just kind of following you. I have the same stance, but like, I guess tell us about what your stance is on diet fads. You know, there's, go ahead.
I'm just like, you know, your diet is what you eat, period. And so like, is this something you're going to do forever? And if it's not, like, you probably shouldn't be doing it, because anything that promises you results quick, mm-hmm. You didn't get here overnight, right? Like, you didn't get here in 30 days. So why do you expect everything to be resolved in 30 days?
Yeah.
But we have this like ingrained belief that like a diet has to be painful. Like, it has to be miserable. It has to be like, this is going to suck, you know? And then it also has to work really fast. Right. And most of those fad diets, they don't work fast, really. They, quotes, air quotes, if you're listening to this, they work fast because they cut a bunch of water weight. It looks like you're, you know, seeing results, you get motivated, you stick to it for the time. But once it's over, can you sustain your weight loss or whatever results you got from it? And 97% of the time now it's a no.
Wow.
Like 97% of people gain weight back after getting off of the diet because it's not sustainable. And if you are on a diet, you know, like, that's why like counting macros, I think, is great, because you know exactly what you're getting. And as you hit your goal weight or whatever it is, you can move into a maintenance phase and coast there for a while. You know, you can, if you want to build muscle, you can add more food in and do that. And you can do it in such a like regulated, sustainable way mm-hmm. that you never feel deprived. You never feel like obsessive or miserable. You never have to cut anything out, and you can actually sustain your progress.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I learned with macro counting. Now, I'm not trying to promote macro counting to our audience or whoever, you know, our listeners, that's what you need to do. But just in my experience, that's what I just want to like, you know, back off of what you said in terms of macro counting. Like, yeah, maybe I didn't do it for the right reasons at first, but it actually taught me nutritionally wise, like nutritional values of like what to eat. And so like, I don't count today. I did go back to counting last year when COVID first started happening. I didn't work for 6 weeks and I had nothing else to do. Nothing was happening. So I was like, what should I do? Let me start macro counting again. I'm bored. And it was strictly I'm bored type thing. I mean, who knows? Maybe there were things that I still needed to work. There's always things we need to work on.
Enjoy it, you know, like keto, for example. Like, I would never want to do that. Why would I do that? I like carbs, you know. But if you really don't enjoy carbs at all and you just really like that higher fat, I mean, I won't get too much into it, but you know, like, there's definitely some things that can pop up medically for you if you are on that diet. So I don't always advise it, but
you're talking about keto?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. But you know, if you enjoy whatever and you like it and that's sustainable for you, then sure. But most people are like, okay. And then you're cheating on, especially if cheating on keto, like, get out of here with that. What are you doing? Like, you can't knock yourself out of ketosis. You probably never have been in it.
Right.
And you're just like in a shame spiral. A lot of times you're always like cheating on it. And you like tell people it worked and like, it worked last year, but I gained, you know, but now I got to do it again because I gained 30 pounds back. And it's like, well, it didn't work if you have to do it again.
Don't exactly. I've never tried keto. I'm always curious as to what is going to happen to my body if I try to do one of those. Like, I'm always like, oh, what's going to happen? But, I love carbs too much. I will never.
Let me like explain something really fast, which will probably scare the crap out of people who are used to yo-yo dieting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So our bodies physiologically have not changed in thousands of years. Our bodies do not understand that a famine isn't a thing anymore. It doesn't understand how readily available food is for us. So when you diet, your body believes it's in a famine. And it will slow over time, how it depends on how long you're on it, it'll begin to slow your metabolism down, right? Because it's adapting to the environment and it is making sure it's keeping you alive. Our bodies are amazing at keeping us alive. It is super duper efficient at that. pisses us off because we want to lose weight and we hit that plateau and we're mad, mm-hmm. but it's really just our body adapting metabolically, right? So when you get off your diet and you start eating more and more, your body is like, sweet, the famine's over. You know what? Let's put on that weight that we lost and then some, just to make sure, you know, if this happens again, we're safe. Super non-scientific way of explaining that, but that's what happens. So when you go off a diet, losing a ton of weight, gaining a ton of weight, and then some back, weird, why is this happening? This is so frustrating. It's just your body's super efficient way of keeping you alive.
And it sounds like your body's way of keeping you alive does not care about your body in it, or does not care about your feelings. About what you want to look like. It's like, nope. What we're going to do. Scientifically, your metabolism.
So do it slow.
Yeah.
Do it slow and sustainably, and then we don't have to worry about that happening.
It's really funny. Well, okay, so piggybacking off of that, right? So for me, this is just small, short story time, just because I can relate to this a little bit. Mm. Let's go back further before my macro counting days, right before I was going through a divorce, right? Mm. Super stressful times for me, super stressful. I stopped eating, did not realize that I stopped eating. Now, not completely, like I didn't like go a month without eating, but like a 1 to 2 months, I dropped so much weight, like 20 pounds, didn't realize it, right? Body dysmorphia right there. Did not realize it. I thought I looked fine. And people were coming up to me saying, you lost a lot of weight. Like, are you okay? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I still looked at myself like I thought I looked the same. And it was a stress. I wasn't trying to lose weight. So that being said, once I got a hold of what the issue was of what, this is what's happening. I didn't realize this was what was happening. I'm stressed because my marriage is not great. So then, you know, I fixed some things on my end and, like emotionally, and then went back to eating normally. Guess what happened? Yeah. I gained like 30 pounds and I wondered, cause I would like look at pictures and I wondered why I looked so different of like, oh, this is like when I was losing all that weight because I wasn't eating. And oh my God, not that I would never like call myself like, oh, I'm fat, I'm huge. But like my face was like fuller. Like I just looked and I'm like, what? I'm not even eating a ton of food, but just because I went from a starvation mode, literally to just eating normal, I gained so much weight back. And I try to tell people that when they ask me about nutrition or diets or whatever, especially my teenage girls in my classes, when they ask me about that, like, oh, I'm only going to eat 500 calories a day. And I'm like, what? No, don't do that. Stop immediately.
No, it's metabolic adaptation. And that also happens too, when you are eating more, like, especially if you're increasing your eating, like really slowly, like your, non-exercise, what is it? Non-exercise activity thermogenesis, like that goes up too. So like you're tapping and like you're, you know, like you naturally just kind of move more, when you start eating more slowly because your body has time to like adapt and catch up. And so like, if if you were to jump up 1,000 calories more than what you're eating now, just like tomorrow, you'd probably put on a little bit of fat, like over time, you know, in that process, because you didn't give yourself time to adjust. But if you increase those calories, you know, every couple of weeks, add 100, and you got that 1,000 calories higher, you'd probably weigh exactly the same.
Wow. Yeah. And see, people don't know that. Like you said, like people don't know what they don't know, and whatever they're not educated on.
The diet industry is a multi-billion dollar industry because of that, because if people don't know and they don't have the education or the knowledge or even the understanding of like what's in food or what food even is or real food and whatever. So it's like, that's they are banking on that, literally banking on that.
Wow. And which is why I have learned, and obviously this is what you do, why I think it's so important to get a professional coach or a professional, someone to help you if that's something that you truly want to do.
And that's the difference between like, you know, there's a difference between, and this is why, like, you know, I love nutrition coaching. I was very passionate about it, and I still have some clients that I'm going to continue with, you know, moving onward, because they are really great clients, like listen and they do all the stuff and they're seeing great results. But in general, I'm moving away from nutrition because there's so many amazing nutrition coaches out there. There's a lot of really bad ones. But you know, if you just have a nutritional issue where you just don't know what you don't know, you don't know what you need to get, you need some guidance in that area, you get a plan and then you actually stick to that plan, like that's a completely different thing as opposed to, you know, what I am starting to deal with now is that underlying belief system. Because when you get to a certain, you know, you look a certain way and you're really liking it, and then suddenly you turn around, you face plant into a bazillion calories and go off plan and self-sabotage, like there's something deeper there.
Yeah.
So like there are clients in my past that I have not been able to help because I didn't have the tools at the time. They just couldn't stick to a plan to save their lives. They couldn't do it. And it's not because like they're just not disciplined. It's not because they don't have the willpower. I hate that word. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with they have stuff that's keeping them from doing it internally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that is something that people don't know that they cover it up. They mask it. I did it. You don't know to deal with internal, you know, shit. Yeah. Sorry, Josh. I don't know if we're supposed to cuss on Connectable, but
no, trying to be good.
I knew you wouldn't mind.
Trying really hard to be good.
Yeah. So, okay, Crystal, I want to switch gears again. And, I want to ask you about, so you just started a new program.
Yes.
Called Pendulum.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Do you want to tell our listeners and myself about what that is and what that looks like and what you're doing?
Yes. I am so excited about this because I launched a one-on-one program in January, February. It's called Self Love for Life, and it is very high level and it's very intense because it's one-to-one. So I realized I kind of had a meltdown one day and I was like, you know, there's so many people out there that I want to be able to help. And I know that like my one-on-one program is not for everyone and it's not very affordable for like the average person. Like it's just not. And especially like with where I'm going is I'm working with CEOs, I'm working with like, you know, people who are really high level, high achieving, that want to do this work so they don't like blow up their whole career or what they're working so hard at, or, you know, they're successful and they want to feel that success instead of just like on to the next goal, you know? So that is like a very, what comes up, we work on, there's no like major structure to that. So with Pendulum, it's a group program and that way I can keep it. It's like a third of the cost of my one-on-one. So I can keep it a lot more cost, accessible for people. And it's more structured. So we kind of like move through like a curriculum. So we're not just like bing bonging all over the place, but it is about doing that internal work. And it's really hard to explain like what I do to people. And like my clients are like, I don't even know how to tell people what you do because it's like amazing and ridiculous because it's not mindset stuff. And I'm not giving you a checklist to like go home and do. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is energetics. And, you know, feeling into your body. So often we live in our head as opposed to connecting to our bodies. And so we spend a really good portion of time just relearning that, you know, connecting to yourself, feeling what it feels like inside of your body. You know, when something happens, like fight or flight, right? Like when something happens that scares you, you feel it in your body. That's like a remembrance, right? Or you have like your pace picks up in your heart and, you know, you might have a tightness in your chest or something, right? That happens with so many different things, just like anything that doesn't make you feel very good or like that hurts your feelings or whatever, you have a bodily response. And so often we ignore that or we don't know or understand it, but that can tell a story. And so I am able to literally draw a story out of how your body, like what it feels like in your body, and help you that process of healing. So there's a lot of, and there's a lot of like woo-woo terms that people like, you know, will throw around online right now, like inner child work, shadow work. You know, we do a lot of that kind of stuff. So this program is creating a really safe container. There's none of this, like no one is going to be like mean to anyone or make fun of anyone because like we're all in the same place working on the same stuff, maybe different stuff, but we're all here to heal and to work on ourselves. So it is going to be so phenomenal. Like I'm so excited because I'm able to offer it to just more people, and I can help more people at once. So I'm really pumped too. I'm actually going for a breathwork certification as well, facilitator training. So I'll be able to integrate breathwork into my practice and like do that with people, which is next level from meditation. Most people are like, I don't know how to meditate. I can't meditate.
Yeah.
I think too much. So breathwork kind of like makes it easier, but yeah. So the program is just really, it's different. It's unlike anything that's going on right now, especially in this like food and body world. Where people spend so much time on the mindset and so much time on behavior change. But like, if we just worked on like the stuff, like the hard stuff, and did the work internally, all that other stuff resolves. So this is really for people who are just tired, like tired of spinning their wheels and know that there's something deeper than just like the surface.
Yeah, that is awesome. That does sound like something that it sounds like nothing else is out there like that. I haven't heard of anything like that. So that is super exciting. When does this start? Has it started already?
Not yet. I'm in enrollment right now. So I think when this goes live, we'll still be in early bird enrollment. Yeah. Anyone who says they're on here, I would still give them early bird. But the official kickoff date is April 17th, I believe. I think it's a Saturday.
Fabulous. Yeah, this should, to our listeners, we're recording this on March 23rd, but it'll be released March 30th. So that'll be good timing.
Yeah, perfect. And it's a 6-month program. I think it's like 24 sessions that are either an hour to 90 minutes. And like I said, there's not like a whole bunch, you know, there might be a little bit of additional audios that maybe you have that you can listen to throughout the week, but it's not like coursework. It's not like heavy stuff or like you have this crazy time commitment. You know, everything is recorded, so you can always come back. Obviously, like being present for the live is like ideal. But a lifetime access to it. So if we go through the program and you miss something, or you're like, that didn't really hit for me at the time, but then like later you're like, whoa, this is hitting, like you can go back and like do that work. Or if something really helped you, you can go back and do that and you have it forever.
Nice. That is awesome. And then where can, okay, so if our listeners are interested in this program, where can they enroll?
So my website is crystalrose.com. And you go there, which is CHRYSTIO, crystalrose.com/pendulum, PENDULUM. And you can fill out the application. There's an application. This is not just for everyone. And I want to make sure that the people in it are the right fit. And I want to make sure I'm the right fit for you, because I may not be the right fit for you. And I am totally okay with letting you know that. there's no ego here. If someone else is a better fit, like I want that for you. So fill out the application. We jump on like a 30-minute call and I get to hear like firsthand from you, like what's going on? What are you dealing with? What are you struggling with? What is your pain? Like, and I let you know more about the program and if and how I can help you.
Yeah.
So, and then I do that with my one-on-one too. Like I want to sit here and have a conversation with every single person.
Yeah. Wow.
And you have me in your corner forever.
That is awesome. I don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, I think a lot of, you know, coaches, you know, well-meaning, you know, self-love coaches, life coaches, maybe sometimes they take on too many clients. I don't know how it works. Like I'm not one, I've never been one, but I think that's really just hearing you say that, that's really, a big deal to someone who like myself, who like, if I am potentially your client or whatever, to hear that you are like, nope, it needs to be a two-way, like I need to be right fit for you and you for me so that you get the most out of what I'm going to offer you.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is awesome. Crystal, I could hold you hostage for like 5 more hours easily, let me tell you, but I do want to be respectful of your time. You're a very busy woman. You're doing lots of amazing things for many women everywhere. So I want to let you get back to that and get back to at least resting. You need to rest yourself too. So, I so appreciate you hopping on and talking to me again, on another podcast
episode. I love talking to you.
You don't even know when I was like, okay, she's got to be on the next one. And then when you said yes, I was so excited. I was like, oh good. She's not tired of me yet. Good. I didn't at the beginning, you know, I butcher all the episodes that Josh isn't in with me, but that's okay. So at the beginning of the episode, I was supposed to say, so for the Connectable podcast, I tell our audience how you and I are connected. And so anyway, if you guys didn't already know, I've been following Crystal for years. I've been stalking her on Instagram and Rebellia. And anyway, I tricked her into coming on Character Combine. So she came on and she told an amazing story there that was months ago. And so that's how I know Crystal. And that's why she's here today. So, and I also, I don't know if I mentioned this to you while we were messaging before this episode, so I'm just going to put you on the spot. And if you need a few seconds, I can talk and distract our listeners. But so what we do at the end of this episode as well is we ask our guests, so you, if there's anyone that you would like to connect our listeners to, like a business, a person. I put you on the spot. You have lots of life coach friends and self-love, you know, coach friends. You interview a lot of amazing women on your podcast, which I love listening to. So if you could pick someone for our listeners just to kind of get like hooked up to, like, oh, you should check out their Instagram or whatever. Is there someone? I don't think I told you about this part. So I deeply apologize for putting you on the spot, but is there someone you would like to connect our listeners to?
Yeah, I would say my mentor, Samantha Skelly. She is who I went through my certification program with. She is who I will be getting my breathwork facilitator training with. She's going to be on my podcast, I believe on, I want to say the 7th of April. And she is just such an incredible human that wants to change lives. And I'm honestly so, so honored to be one of her students and have her be my friend and mentor. And she's just such an incredible being. So
that's awesome. Where can they, does she have a handle on Instagram?
I think it's at Sam Skelly. I don't know if it's Samantha Skelly or Sam Skelly. It's like, I'm terrible, but.
Okay. All right. Samantha Skelly. So check her out, you guys. That is awesome. Well, thank you. And then, okay. So Crystal, is there, I guess before we hop off, is there any last kind of words that you would like to say to our listeners? Any last sentence?
Yeah, you know, like real quick on the subject of body image, because like I don't know why I never, like, this didn't pop up. Ridiculous. This is very relevant. I had a botched cool sculpting job. At one point, and it was just when I was getting into fitness, I thought it would help speed up the process of fat loss, and I would just go and get some fat removed through freezing. And what happened was they said it worked too well, and I had indents in my body. And so I just feel like if I have been able to come back from, like, you know, being really angry at myself and like not being able to forgive myself for the longest time for that, to embracing it and living with it. And you know what, now, like, it was partially fixed, but for the most part, it's still there. And it's part of me. And I am more than okay with it now. It's just kind of like, you know, so if you have cellulite or things that are natural about you and you didn't intentionally or unintentionally mess up your body, you are beautiful and you are perfect, because if I am, you definitely are.
That is awesome. And I remember you talking, you have an episode or two that you talk about on your podcast. So you guys make sure you check out her Self Love Breakfast Club podcast. And she talks, you talk more in depth into how that happened and you know, your emotions behind that. And that was
save every woman the trouble. Please don't do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that as well. And, this has been so fun, such an honor, such a pleasure. Where can, our listeners, how can they get a hold of you? Like, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me, specifically on Instagram. That's probably the easiest. I probably spend the most time there at Extel Rose. I'm also on TikTok at Extel Rose. My brand Rebellia at Rebellia Clothing, and crystalrose.com is where you'll find all of my things.
All the things. All the things. Thank you, Crystal. And you guys can follow the Connectable Podcast on Instagram at Connectable Podcast. Twitter, we're at Connectable Pod, I believe. And then we're on Facebook and then YouTube. This is where you can kind of watch us talk. Yeah. And Crystal looks beautiful today. So you can watch and you can see the cute shirt that I'm wearing, kind of part of it at least. So supporting Rebellia right now. So Crystal, thank you so much. I'm going to bug you to come on again at some point, I'm sure. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.